Good morning, Rock Bible Church. Merry Christmas. I had a first this week, and I've adopted a new policy. I Merry Christmas someone, to which they responded, Merry, Merry Christmas. I got double married. So I'm double marrying from now on. Merry, Merry Christmas, Claudia. So that was kind of fun. Man, I hope you're ready. If you're not ready for Christmas, you're running out of time, folks. We love this time of year. We love being in the Lord's house. We love the Lord. And we're doing our best to love our neighbor because we're Rock Bible Church. Amen? Welcome to Rock Bible Church. We are a Christ-centered, biblically-based, compelling, casual community. We are compelling ourselves and others to Christ in casual ways that welcome all to worship. We're being a community that serves a greater community. Amen?
Amen.
Now, are we perfect at any of those things?
No.
That's why we come to church. One of the reasons, okay? But we're working on it. And how fun to see the kids up here.
Yeah.
Right? Singing. And what a great reminder of the time of year. And then I also noticed that we had shortest to tallest. It looks like 5 bars of full reception. It was great. So, because the way my mind works, I was like, I hope they're receiving what we're worshiping and teaching and such here. Raise your children up in the Lord, and they shall not soon depart from it. Hey, guys, you staying with us today? All right, let's go. Today we're talking about Jesus as King. We're in our Christmas series of prophet, priest, king, and savior. Today we're going to do king to 2 nights from today. Any guesses?
Savior.
Yes, Christmas Eve. I hope you'll join us for either 3 or 4:30. Let's do it like a little straw vote. Who thinks they might come at 3? Who might come at 4:30? Okay, good. We'll have more drinks at 4:30 then. But would love for you to be here and worship with us. We're going to look at quite a few passages today. We've been having a little bit of fun with this idea that comes from the Old Testament, this quote in Matthew 1:23, where the prophet says to the king at the time, Ahaz, he says, look, I'm going to give you a sign. And it's because the king's in trouble with God at that point. We're not going to tell that story today. We'll do that another time. But the sign ends up being this Jesus, and we've been looking at this fourfold identity of Christ, which is the definition of this sign that he is meant to be for us at Christmas. A couple weeks back, we talked about how he was a prophet, and we get truth from that. And last week, we looked at how he's a priest. We get forgiveness from that. Today we're going to look at king, the king piece of that sign, and what are we to take from that? And it is all over. In fact, we're going to shotgun through more. We're going to set a new church record for how many different passages we reference today. We'll try to do them quickly. But I wanted us to see Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. If you look at your outlines on the back, you got the title and then our theme verse. But then the verse we're highlighting this morning is chapter 2 of Matthew 2, where it says, where is he who was born, what?
King
of the Jews. And that's a great question from some call him the Magi, some call him the wise men. They show up on the scene and they don't ask for Messiah. They don't ask for the baby. They say, there's supposed to be a king born. How'd they know that? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Okay, we're Jesus as king. Let's do that after we pray. Amen. Lord, thanks for this morning. Thanks for what we get to sing, what we get to teach the children because of the truth behind it, because of the grace in it. Mostly, Lord, for the reality that you have proved yourself time and time again to all generations, to those who will seek you. I pray, Lord, you would be with us this time as we look at your word and your passages, as we think about the idea of your son as king, as you deemed it so. I pray that you would help us to understand, what could that mean for us today? What does it mean for us today and beyond? And so, Lord, I pray you would bless all of us as we take this in. Help us to see that which you would want us to see, understand, and apply. And so we pray this in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, I know for some of you, if you're like me, it's like, wait, we can't talk about it after he was born because it's before Christmas. You're getting the timeline wrong, Scott. Well, we're doing a thematic study, right, as King. We're going to prove some stuff. But watch this. In the days of Herod, when he was king of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, there's that verse that we quoted a second ago, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. How are kings treated? Oh, we treat them like R, starts with R, ends with T. We treat them like royalty, right? And it's dangerous because sometimes we forget we are creatures of worship. We're designed, created to worship. And we can sometimes follow people and border on worshiping them. And that's never the way it was meant to be. In fact, the reason that Israel gets a king is because they demand one. They keep arguing with God. We covered this back in when we did 1 Samuel last year. This idea that, hey, everybody else got a king. How come we don't have a king? And God says, well, because you have a God, it's way better than a king. But if you have to have a king, I'll give you some kings. It'll be terrible. You'll hate it. And eventually you'll come back to me. Because eventually I will give you the ultimate king, Jesus. He's trying to take that worship aspect of our DNA and repurpose it back to himself. Because we like to lift people up and put them on a pedestal, whether it be a teacher, a coach, a politician, a parent. Some of us do it with our kids. And who's the only one that was meant to be worshipped? God. Now, interesting, these wise men are trying to figure it out. Let's just say it'd be quite the assumption to say they were religious in the same line of Judea. They came from the east. They're probably of a different background or whatever. But they also knew that you're meant to worship him. I'm very curious, how do they get there? Because they must have known some information. Truth must have shown up through a prophet before, right? And priests must have done enough sacrifices and ceremonies for them to understand that there's grace and forgiveness to some kind of religious thing. Now we're going to get a king out of it? Well, let's go find him. And so they show up on the scene. They say, hey, we came to worship him. Verse 3, when Herod, the king... Bum, bum, bum. What just happened in like less than two sentences? There's two kings. How's that going to go? Yeah. You know, I was thinking about this. If you're a prophet and it goes well, they listen, you go home. If you're a prophet and it doesn't go well, when you're done, they don't listen, and you go home. If you're a priest and it goes well, people bring sacrifices and you had a good day. You don't stub your toe. You don't make any mistakes. You get all the lines right. At the end of the day, you go home. If you're a priest and it doesn't go well, like nobody shows up today, man, I manned the altar for 8 hours and nobody came. At the end, you go home. What happens at the end of being king? When your time as king is over, you're dead. Whoever takes over next, well, we got to make sure we get rid of them and their line because we don't want competition for the crown. If there's two kings, that's not good because somebody's not going to last, right? Herod doesn't want it to be him, so it's going to get ugly, right? Herod heard this. He was troubled and all Jerusalem with him because Jerusalem knew there was going to be a fight because the reigning king, Herod, is going to be mad at them because they have a false king, a puppet king in their mind. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Where the Christ was to be born. So these chief priests and scribes, they knew information. They knew where the Christ was supposed to be born. Well, it doesn't say that where the king was supposed to be born. It doesn't say where the Messiah was supposed to be born. It doesn't. So is it really that much of a threat? How do they get from here to here and put those two together to where they would ask the question, where is he who was born king of the Jews? Watch what it says. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. Ooh, we were told this was coming. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. Rulers. Does it say king, technically, literally? No, it says rulers. All right. For from you shall come a king? No. A ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. How did they jump from ruler to king? It could be just like a magistrate or, you know, have his little section, governor or something. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. For when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Anybody believe in that? No, no. We want the king to end, the other king. After listening to the king, what do you do with kings? You listen to him. That's going to come back here in a bit when we get to our fill-ins. They went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. So they completed their task. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. And then watch this. This is kind of interesting. 12. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. These, we'll call them non-Jews or yet-to-be Jews. They show up. They ask the right questions because they go on good information, and then they end up getting more inside information, being warned. Hey, we know Herod's not really doing what you think he's doing. Let's keep you safe. That's reassuring to me, because if I have a king, I want him to give me warnings. Amen? Let's look, because I want to fly through a bunch of fun stuff, and we will spend very little time on each of these, but I want to hit all of them because it is kind of a fun thread of connecting everything together. And I love this because in my line of work, let's just say I get told that there's just a bunch of stories written by men and women. They made it up. I was like, yeah. Not even Hollywood could come up with this level of detail and structure and unity when you really start to look at it. And so I love the intricacies. So I'm going to nerd out for a minute. Here we go. They quoted a verse because in the to fulfill what was said by the prophet, right? Who's that prophet? Let's go with Micah, right? Not McDuffie, the other Micah. Right? Micah 5:2. I think we got it here. But you, O Israel, or O Bethlehem, Ephrathah. And this is the verse, right? Where he come shall come from you a ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient of days. Interesting. You heard that phrase before? The ancient of days? Who's the ancient of days? God is. So it's kind of a loose reference there, right? Now, Micah said this, but you also get a prophecy from Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your what? Okay, come on, folks. You're 0 for 2 right now. Okay, ready? We're going to do it again. The same thing we just did, right? Your what?
King.
Very good. Was Zechariah clear on who it was, his role? And so they say it differently to draw attention to it. But watch what it says about this king. Shout aloud, your king is coming. Rejoice He's righteous and having salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey. We skip forward to the New Testament. How does Jesus enter Jerusalem at the beginning of Passion Week on Palm Sunday, right? He rides in on a donkey. In fact, he says ahead of time, guys, can't go into town until you go get the donkey. What's he saying? I'm the one Zach was talking about. Zach and Mike were talking about me. Love that. So Zechariah 9:9 gives us this. And so is that it? No, let's look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. Here we go. As I look, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. We've established who he is, right? His clothing was white as snow, and his hair and the head was pure wool. His throne was a fiery flames. It's a pretty cool throne. Watch this one. Its wheels were burning fire. Now, I just want to have a little bit of fun with this. His throne has wheels. Did you catch that? I mean, I got distracted by the fiery flames. That was very exciting because I'm a little boy. But the throne has wheels. Have you ever seen a throne with wheels? Never. Why would God's throne, the Ancient of Days, have wheels? So he can be on the move. I like they say in Narnia. Right? The Chronicles thereof. Aslan is on the loose. Absolutely love this because it's a little bit of a flirt with the idea of God on the move, stepping out of his throne in heaven and coming down, bringing his throne to earth and walking the planet with us. Love that. I never saw that before this week. I love reading and finding new stuff. A throne with wheels. Anyways, we're going to skip from skip 10 down to verse 13. Look at that. 11, 12, 13. And I saw in the night visions, he's having a dream, behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. A kingdom has a king, right? That all peoples, nations, language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. So we got Mike, Zach, and Dan all agree. We get into Matthew, in fact, the very end. We call this the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Let's see what Jesus says at the very end of his earthly ministry. As he's leaving the disciples and making all these promises, I go to prepare a place for you. By the way, there's a banqueting table. You've never had a meal like that. Watch what he says. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Does he actually say king? He kind of does. He doesn't say that four-letter word that starts with K and rhymes with ing, but he says, all authority has been given to me. Sounds like a king, if not a god, right? So Jesus says it, and then if we're moving through time, we've got all these prophets, and Jesus says it. We get to John chapter 18. This is as he's going to the cross, and he's on trial. Pilate enters, and they have this discussion. Watch what it says at the end of verse 33. He says, are you king of the Jews? Why does he ask that question? Because even enemies knew what he was accused of. His crime was competing with the king. Love that. They have this discussion. Jesus says, did you say this or did you hear someone else say it? He said, well, wait, am I a Jew? How would I know? Your own people turned you over to me. And he says, yeah, well, verse 36 at the bottom there, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. And we love the little stickers that we see, N-O-T-W, around different places and such. But as he keeps going, next verse, he says, this is my kingdom, right? Verse 36, but my kingdom is not from this world. He said it again. And then Pilate finally gets it, verse 37. So you are a king. I love that. And Jesus says, well, you say that I am king, but for this purpose I was born, because I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth. He's the king of truth. Love that. It also makes the argument for what we talked about 2 weeks ago. Jesus as a prophet, right? So that's prophets and Jesus speaking about it. We move our way into the New Testament. What does Paul say to Timothy? Let's look at this. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession to keep commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He was blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings. So Paul was clear on what Jesus had said before Pilate. Let's see what happens in Luke. What happened with the soldiers at the cross? They said, if you're a king, call down your legions and get yourself off of the cross. Inadvertently, what are they calling him? King. What was the sign they put over his head? King of the Jews. I think that God has a sense of humor. He's doing all these ironic, snarky kind of things. As they're crucifying, as they're missing the point, as they're paving the way for him to solve sin and dawn salvation on all of creation, they're totally missing it, running their head into the wall, and he's showing them little pieces, little hints. No, king, king, king. Priest, prophet. Love that. Again, in verse 42, a couple verses later, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Two criminals on the cross being crucified with him. And the one mocks him, and the other one says, hey, wait a minute, you don't know who you're talking to. What did that criminal believe? He said he thought he was talking to somebody special, at the minimum. Thought he really was talking to God. And he says, when you come into your kingdom, inadvertently he's calling him king. Love that. So that's Luke. Paul writes again to the church at Philippi, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore God has highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. You watch any shows lately where they talk about bending the knee? You got to bend the knee. Who do you bend the knee to? The king, right? Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, which would be even higher than king, to the glory of God the Father. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's see what Paul says to the church at Colossae, right? He's telling all the churches at this point. He's delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom. Great. The anonymous writer of Hebrews, what do they put? Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke of our fathers, to our fathers, by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Does that sound like a king? It does. Through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, right? Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten thee? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He's the firstborn. Let all of God's angels worship him. That's what happens in Hebrews. And then John at the very end, the last book, Revelation, there's two different places that we're just going to look at today. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Who do you think the Lamb is? Jesus. Yeah, good guess, right? Well, Scott, you've been leading the witness all morning. All right, and then the last one. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, Have we established that Jesus is King?
Yes.
We have. Now, have we justified you getting a tattoo on your thigh because Jesus has one? Let's not go that far, okay? Are we pro-tattoo? Say yes. Are we anti-anything? We try not to be, right? I've heard people use this as an excuse for, well, see, I can get tattoos. It's like, well, you don't have to go that far. But if we're going to talk about this passage, how about instead of tattoos, let's talk about the Lordship of Christ. We're the only religion that believes that God came down and walked among us, became as one of us, and yet perfect in every way, so that he could have relationship. I love that, because he could decree from his throne, take the wheels off, I'm not going anywhere, I'm staying here. You guys need to do this and do that, and I'll be right here, past the grapes. That's the view of most gods and most other religions. And yet we have Jesus as King. And what we need to understand from that in verses 1, 3, 4, 5, 10, 12, you know what? If he's king, there's one thing you do with a king for sure. Listen. You better listen. You better listen to the fact that he's the one that gives the orders. He's in charge. We saw a verse that said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. In fact, part of how we get our name as Rock Bible Church comes from a passage where it says, and Jesus says, he who listens to these words of mine and does them. Obedience. And yet, we're way into science, aren't we? And I don't mean that the way you think I mean it. Science is all about experimentation, right? And no matter what answers you get from your experiment, there's more experiments you can do. We love that, because if we get the wrong answer, well, we'll just do some more experiments till I get the answer I want. In that way, I think we're all scientists, because we do it with God. And God said, this works this way, this works that way, this never works, this sometimes works. When it does, you better have somebody with you. You better honor your elders. You better take care of children. You need to watch when this happens. And we go, it'll be fine. No. This is how a family works. This is how a church works. This is how a job works. This is what a work ethic is. This is what you do with your body. This is not what you do with your body. This is what you do with your eyes. This is not what you do with your hands. You never let your feet take you to this place. And we say, really? I talked to this one guy. He said I could. He did it before and it didn't go so bad. What? Was he king? Should be the question. Right? And I love this because in this passage, like I wrote all those little numbers underneath that thing. You know those little yellow numbers? Why do I do that every week? To prove that I study? No. It's for you. If you want to look it up later and find all the different people that listened, let's name them. Did the wise men listen? They did. Did the scribes listen? Did the chief priests listen? Did Herod actually listen? Sure. Were there prophets that listened long before? And ever since, disciples, apostles, hopefully church pastors and church attenders, say church members, whatever it is. There's something about listening that goes hand in hand with the king. Because if you don't listen to the king, then who's king? See, here's the rough part. If you have a king, what just happened to you? What'd you become? A subject. Thank you for that word. That was exactly where I was going. I wanted that word. I knew we were going to come up with a bunch of other options first, and I thought it would take us a while. We landed straight on subject. Why did king's people get named subject? Because they are subject to the king. If you're not subject to the king, if you're not obeying what he says, if you're not listening, who gets in trouble? The king? No. And yet we as Christians, we scratch our head when we go just a little sideways, a little off, or you twist what he says a little bit and it doesn't work. And God says, Well, it's like the line from Tombstone where Wyatt Earp says, I don't think I'm going to let you arrest me today. You can pretend like you're the law, but you're not. And we do that with God all the time. You know the great thing about God is he keeps talking. He keeps speaking. He keeps sending us messages. I just walked you through all these verses from way Old Testament all the way to the end of Revelation of God giving a message to be listened to. That should give you great confidence that he's still speaking today and has something for you. Because quite honestly, people, I've run out of patience. If he's not real, if he's not active, he has nothing to say anymore, I'm gone. I will go do other things. I'm running out of time. And more people tell me every week. And if it's not real, then I'm moving on. Here's the problem. I'm a scientist. I keep doing these experiments with God and getting answers, and then I keep doing more experiments with God, and I failed to disprove him so far. And I love that. And so I'm going to keep listening, and I hope that you will too. I think part of why we exist as a church is to help other people get the message and listen. Who do you invite? Who do you take in? Who do you have dinner with? Who do you have coffee with? Does Jesus ever get brought up? Religion, what you do on a Sunday morning, does it become a topic of discussion? Do you tell people, hey, I'll pray for you? There's so many ways to get other people to a position where they get to listen. Hey, do you want to come to youth group with me? That'd be a good one, you balcony people. I love you guys. Secondly, worship, obey, offer, and act in the king's best interest. Love the magi show up, the wise men, and they say, hey, we need to worship. So we've come a long way. Were they obeying the star? Somebody said, well, we got to go. Couldn't they worship from home? Yeah, we'll say some prayers. Build a little altar off to the side. No, there was a level of obedience. In fact, later when the dream tells them to go home by another way, they obey. Did they offer frankincense, myrrh, and what's our favorite one that some of you already bought last week? Gold. They're offering gifts. What do you offer? Oh, this is the part where the pastor asks for money. No. They offered something to God in a place that was not a church. This is the farthest thing from a church. You know what you have to offer God? All of it is more valuable than your money. The occupation of your mind, your free time, the conversations that you have, where you spend your time, with who, what do you help with, how do you serve, when do you fast, when do you do solitude or silence, when do you do fellowship, introverts, when do you do solitude and silence, extroverts, right? There's so many ways. Walk in a room, let someone else be the center of attention. Is that a form of worship? Is that an offering to God? Yes. Have you met people that dominate the room every single time they walk in? Exhausting. I know, Scott, we're around you all the time. I'm seriously, it's something I work on. There's time, and then sometimes there's people that tell me, hey, you're too quiet. I said, yeah, well, I'm loud most of the time. I'd be quiet sometimes. It's the way I offer to God, right? We offer, act, we do all this in the king's best interest. And I have to draw attention to the idea, because most of the time, whose interest do we act on behalf? Who are we thinking about, right? Man, if I don't get her something good for Christmas, I'm going to be in trouble. What's driving that? Her, them. Hey, how am I going to worship this Christmas? That's a much better thing to ask. I had a little fun with this. If you just read the capitals of the four fill-ins, whoa. I better be acting in the king's best interest. You ought to better offer those four things or whoa, I'm going to move out of the way. Lastly, this is my favorite. I've been waiting all week for this. I'm excited. I might even take my hands out of my pocket on this one. Start seeing everything as his kingdom. There are some people you don't like. They're his. There's some truths that you've been told, and you're raging against them. You're doing your experiment. That truth is truth because he deemed it so. In his sovereignty, he said, this will be, and now we have to adjust. I love the wise men. You got to imagine, of the options of things that, I mean, there are many choices when they flew. And they decided to fly to Bethlehem and bring their gifts and the time and the energy. Now they're getting drugged before the foreign king in a foreign land where they probably have no, I mean, what they went through. They saw all of it as his kingdom. The scribes and the Pharisees had a hard time. The chief priests, you know, the prophets, they did a really pretty good job of seeing all of it as his. The disciples, man, the stories we get in the New Testament are all because of how much they dropped the ball in understanding everything was his. But the more that we can treat every breath, I mean, I'm still here. It's not fair. It will never be fair that I'm still here based on who I know is no longer here. I can walk backwards upstairs with my hands in my pocket. I know people who can't do that. People have had cancer. People have had all these different things. I don't know what to do with that. But I know who's in charge. Because I followed him too long and I've read too much. It makes me want to follow him more and read more. Amen? Okay, you ready for the part that got me really excited? Can you bring up verse 2? Oh, there it is. Well, I mean, it's on the screen. I forgot. I highlighted the verse because I was going to do this, right? I got so excited, I forgot my, right? Where's he who is born King of the Jews? Did we talk about that? Watch this. For we saw the star. What? Are you sure it doesn't say the his star? I love that. They didn't show up and say, we saw a star. And we have a song that we sing. A star, shining in the... That's a misquote. It should be, his star, right? The wise men knew. Now I know why they called him wise. They figured out it's all his. Even the star way up there, no one could touch or ever go in those times. They can't even see it with the, you know, we got the telescopy things and they got the, all that stuff now. And they figured it out. They weren't even Jews. They were reading somebody else's mail, but they figured out it was his star. How brilliant. Because everybody else missed it. When they go to talk to Herod, Herod inquired of them of where they had seen the star. Now, I would love to call Matthew brilliant in the way that he changed the definite article to a personal pronoun. But I think I'm going to give credit to the Holy Spirit and God as the author on this one. It's my star. No, he's not that angry and violent. I just get excited. I think he was more like, guys, it's my star. I'm giving you signs every way I can. The greatest of which is his son, who is the ultimate prophet, priest, and king. And what do we get from a king? You can get punished, you can get taxed, you can get a lot of stuff. What we get from a true king, a good king, a gracious, loving king, we get direction. Hopefully pardoned. That's what I need. Amen? Please celebrate King Jesus in the next few days. Amen? I got a homework assignment for you, all right? I want you to use that word, king. Sometime between now and the end of the 25th, okay? I mean, as they're passing the potatoes, whatever it is. So glad we're celebrating the king today. There's a suggestion, right? If any of you get in a position where you get to pray out loud around relatives or strangers, what friends, whatever, just drop king in there. This is good for us to remember, amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thanks for your star. Thanks for all the different signs that you give us, all the different ways that you have worked to get our attention. The gifts that you give us every day. Most of which your presence. Your heart and your intention. May we be clear, Lord, in your realities. And we praise you for the testimony of the saints who could say nothing without your direction. We thank you for this holiday season. What's over the next 48 hours, Lord? I just pray that it would be great in everyone's family, in everyone's people. Help us to be a part of that greatness. We thank you now and ask you to bless this offering as we receive it. May we be reminded that it's yours because you're the king. And do as you will with it. And do as you will with us. And then, Lord, for those who've never bent the knee to you as king, may they make that decision today. Today, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge you as king forevermore. I accept your position, your status, your finished work on the cross for my salvation and redemption. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Claudia.
Oh, it's getting so much fun. I might want to stay. Hey, just on a personal note, you could take a moment today to say hi to my grandbaby who's here today. So can't wait till later in the spring. Christmas Eve. Hot cocoa, hot cider, cookies. What are those little candy things? Candy canes. More importantly, we get to step before the King. Amen? And may you see all as His. Amen? Go with Him.